start out our new year getting into the book First John a little bit. Now, next week, we are going to allow our director of missions, Bob Curtis, to preach the morning service. And so I do encourage you to make sure that you're here for that. He is, I'm sure he has a good word that the Lord will give him to bring to us. I just wanted you to get to know him a little bit more. And some thought that I asked for a guest speaker because I was going to be gone, but I actually want to be here while he comes, and that way I can get to know him better too. I know him by working with him. I love to hear him preach, and so he's going to have an opportunity to do that next week. Now, the next week when we have the Gideon speaker, he's only going to take up about 5 to 10 minutes of our service, and I will still preach a sermon on that week. The Gideons are just going to explain to us what their ministry looks like and give us an opportunity to kind of join in with them, and they're going to tell us in ways that they can help us get Bibles in other people's hands, and so that's an important ministry. So continue to pray for the Gideons and the ministry that they do. But just wanting to keep you in touch with what's happening. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles again to 1 John. That's the epistle, the letter that the Apostle John wrote to the church, and so we are blessed and to be able to take a look in this wonderful book. I was really drawn to it. I've been praying about what book I would preach through next, and this one just really jumped out to me as I began to look at it in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. And I thought, you know, we've kind of got a new beginning, and I think it's a good idea for us to start out the beginning of the year with the real beginning. And John has a way of putting things that really draws me in. The Gospel of John starts kind of in the same way, in the beginning. And of course, we know that the whole story that God gives us about himself, and he tells us what he's like, it starts in the book of Genesis. And Genesis means beginnings. And guess how it starts? In the beginning. And so I was kind of drawn to that term and that thought. I think that the Apostle John, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John, has a lot to communicate to us. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right on into it. Dear Father, we just pray that you would lead this service. Holy Spirit, be present. Lord Jesus, teach us to be more like you. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak through your word this morning, and that we would be obedient to your word. And Lord, I love the hymn, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so, Lord, as we read this word this morning about having fullness of joy, having full joy in 2022, Lord, I just pray that we would understand joy is not to be ruled by our circumstances. We can have true joy in our hearts even when our circumstances aren't what we'd like them to be. We can have true joy in our hearts depending on where our heart is with Jesus and where our heart is in following you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us through just these short 4 verses this morning of just the beginning of what this book is going to do in teaching us about having full joy in 2022, Lord. And so I pray that we would have that full joy as long as we're drawing breath. We would have that full joy until Jesus comes back or we go to be with Jesus. And then we will be in your presence in fullness of joy for sure. And so, Lord, help us to learn from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to find out where to get this fullness of joy. And so we're going to look here this morning. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of these 4 verses, and then we're going to break them down just a little bit. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Lord, give us that full joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let's look at where we find this fullness of joy. I think this fullness of joy is found literally in eternal Jesus himself. I think oftentimes people have viewed salvation as something that we can get, like almost like a ticket to heaven. And once we have our ticket, we can stick it in our pocket, and then we can go about the rest of our life and do what we want because we've got our ticket to heaven back here. And so oftentimes what we'll find are people who have made a profession of faith, but it seems like they're empty of joy. They're empty of peace, and it's peace that people are desperately seeking after. Just look around the world, and you'll find that people, no matter where they are in the world, are seeking some type of peace and joy in their life. They'll do anything. They'll do things that blow our mind, that we can't even imagine why a person would be doing the things that they're doing. False religions would tell them that they can find joy if they wash themselves in this particular type of river, like in India. And literally these rivers are full of sewage, and they're washing themselves in sewage and becoming very sick and deathly ill from trying to find this peace and joy that is promised to them through this false religion. Guys, just go down the checklist of the problems that we see in our world and the things that people will get themselves involved in, oftentimes very immoral activities. And we look at that, and the Bible tells us, you know, you're not going to find the joy there, guys. But yet people keep trying. They wind up being addicted to drugs. They wind up having other types of addictions, sexual addictions, and all these different kinds of addictions. What are they really chasing after? Some type of peace or joy that they feel like that they can find in this activity. Well, I want us to know that to have a relationship with Jesus means walking with Jesus every day. To have a relationship with Jesus means focusing in on being more like him each and every day. And if we can keep that focus, guys, that's where we can find just fullness of joy, no matter our circumstances. In fact, that's where the Apostle John tells us, as we break that down, he's saying, you know, that these things, verses 1 through 3, he says to us that we may have joy and that our joy may be full. And this is one of them: to know that one, the Word of Life. To really know Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to have communion with him, so to speak. We're going to do the Lord's Supper today. This is one of those things he told us to do in relationship to our relationship with him, is to have that communion with him. That a communion is not just a monologue. It's not just us talking to him and telling him what we want. That's not the kind of prayer life he wants us to have. He wants us to have a dialogue where we pray, and we do bring our requests before him, as well as our adoration and our confession and our worship. He wants us to do all those things in our prayer life, and then he wants us to take time to listen to him. So you might say, well, preacher, how can you listen to Jesus? Every day, let this book be part of your life in some way. And I know not everybody's enjoys reading, or maybe some of us may even have some disabilities whenever it comes to reading. You know, there's other ways to get the Word of God into our minds. We can listen to the Word of God. How many of you have a smartphone? You have an app on there for a Bible? Well, many of those Bible apps have an audio button that you can push or click. And you know what? You can listen to the Word of God. You can allow it to feed your soul as you go about the thing that you're doing. On your way to work at windshield time, listen to the Word of God. Listen to reliable preachers who bring the Word of God. Spend that time letting God speak to you. I can't tell you the number of times that God will lead me to a certain place in the Bible, and then I'll turn on, you know, my favorite Bible teacher on the radio, and guess what? He's preaching about the exact same thing. Oh my goodness, that must just be a coincidence, right? No, that is God speaking to me. Praise God that he speaks to us. Let's spend time with the eternal Jesus. Let's experience him. Do you notice what John's saying? I'm going to tell you about the one that I have experienced. guys, don't try to tell people about something that you heard about. Let's tell them about the one that we've experienced. In Christ, we have experienced him in his word. We have experienced him, hopefully, through surrendering your heart to him and experiencing the Holy Spirit come to live in your heart. Guys, this is what we need as our message as well. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Have you seen the activity of Jesus in your life? Have you experienced this activity of seeing God answer prayers? Have you seen God do amazing things in changing your heart? How about another person's heart as well? Have we seen his activity, which we have looked upon? And man, John could even say that his hands had handled. But guys, there's ways that we have tangibly experienced the Lord too. So don't think, man, John, he was so blessed, so much more blessed than us. In fact, I think in some ways, we have his word along with the rest of the completion of the New Testament scriptures that John didn't have. I think in some ways we're more blessed. We have the fullness of the word of God. And he says concerning the word of life. You know why that W in word is capitalized? Because it's speaking of the eternal Christ, Jesus himself. Praise God. That's where we find that full joy. If you want full joy throughout this entire year, no matter what your circumstances are, guys, you just stay close to the eternal Jesus. I think the second thing he shows us there in verse 2 is that we're going to find this joy in eternal life as well. Because he talks about the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Guys, here's the thing. Even if nothing else in your life works out, even if nothing else, and you know, maybe we are having hard times sometimes. Maybe we're dealing with sickness. Maybe we're dealing with losing loved ones. Maybe all these things are happening in our life. But here's the one thing that I want you to realize. If you know Jesus, you have eternal life in Jesus. And you have got what it takes to have joy no matter what. Even on my worst day, if I've got eternal life, guys, eternal life is forever. So that little momentary problem that I have, it's momentary. And it's like that big in compared to forever. So I'm just going to say, keep that in mind, and you can have full joy all throughout this year. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. That's not the sound booth's fault. What happens is I have Microsoft Word, and the church has not purchased it for that computer back there. And so whenever they do my PowerPoint, sometimes the two don't play well together. Microsoft is really ornery. They don't play well together with other kids. And so that's why we have the malfunction there. But nonetheless, have joy by knowing the eternal Jesus and that giving you eternal life. And here's another part of it, I think, he wants us to have is as we experience from the eyewitness experience to the personal experience and then we share with one another in verse 3, he wants us to have that eternal fellowship. I want you to look around the room. I think some of it happens like right here. I hope you guys like each other because you're going to spend forever together. And some of us say, well, by the time we get there, we'll be perfect. So, like, we will like each other there. Let's start practicing now. You see, God wants us to be part of the body of Christ and have this fellowship. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but Sunday's my favorite day of the week. Because that's when I get to see the most of you together. I'd like for Wednesdays to become one of my other favorite days of the week. I know you all have a lot of things going on, but if you need a refresher in the middle of the week because you notice you kind of start to wane toward the end of the week, come on Wednesday night when you have a chance. Listen to the prayers of God being lifted up. Listen to the word of God being preached. And I'll tell you, on Wednesdays, we can break it down and slow down and talk about it. It's an awesome personal experience time that we can do together. But here's the thing. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Let's share it with others, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, guys, that eternal fellowship between all these believers only means something because of our fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And so as we have that fellowship, we have that fellowship, and let's take that fellowship all over the world and offer it to everyone else. You know what? In these dark places of the world, where people know they are really in need, when they see the joy of the church and they see God doing miracles at the prayers of the fellowship of the church, of the body of Christ, people are drawn to that. And even if it might even cost them like persecution or even their very life, it's worth the risk. You know, that picture, they've come out with more banners since then for the Voice of the Martyrs with updated calendars. And I want to update the calendar, but you know why I haven't, or the picture of that area of the world where the persecution is the greatest. The reason why I haven't updated it yet is because I love that photograph on that. That is a persecuted nation where it is against the law to have church meetings. And if you can tell by the surroundings, those folks were willing to go out into the wilderness. They were willing to go out into the desert area with just scrub around them to find a place where they could meet. Do you know if they are caught, they will be imprisoned or even killed for their faith, but it's worth it to them to take that risk. I've looked at other pictures like in areas of the world like Vietnam, where in certain areas of the mountainous regions, especially among the Hmong people, they persecute them heavily. And so one of the things that they really forbid is baptism. Do you know those folks will go in the night out through the jungle? And I'm going to tell you, the jungle could be a scary place. There's some critters out there that can do you in. But they will go with little light, almost no light, so that they will not be tracked, so that they can get somewhere to do baptisms. I just want to say, this sweet fellowship, guys, it's worth the little bit of discomfort that we may have to go through, or the little bit of risk that we may have to go through to have it. And I want you to know that as you commit to staying connected in that fellowship, I believe that's going to be part of your joy this year. And I want you to have fullness of joy in that fellowship that also is here because of the fellowship with the Father and His Son. And you know what? If we have our joy in the eternal Jesus, in eternal life, and in eternal fellowship, here's the cool part. That means our joy is eternal. We're talking about joy that can't be extinguished. We're talking about joy that can't be stolen from us. We're talking about joy that no one else can take from us, no matter what they do to us. We can have this joy. And that's what John was saying to a church that was feeling persecution in their day. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. One thing that I love about the Bible, and this is something I hear a word a lot these days, is that things have to be relevant. They need to be relevant to be important. This word is relevant. These words that John said to the church way back when, 2,000 years ago, are still just as relevant to us today. Praise Jesus. He's guiding us how to have joy. He wants us have joy. I want you to experience that joy. If you're not experiencing the joy of His presence, the joy of eternal life, the joy of eternal fellowship, then you need to take a step toward Jesus today. What does that mean? How do I do it? That may be your question. It means any known sin in your life, that God's pointing out that may be getting in your way of being able to make it to him this morning, just confess it to him. Just say, God, I agree with you that that's sin. You don't even necessarily have to share it with anyone else in the room right now. Maybe sometime you'll come to the point that you feel like you can or you need to. You share it with him first. You just confess that sin to him. You agree with him. And then you repent of it. What does repent mean? It means to turn away from. You turn away from your sin. You turn to God. And you say, Jesus, I believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to surrender my life to you today. I believe that you died for my sin and that you rose again on the third day. Jesus, be my Lord. And I can tell you, you can start to really, truly have joy. Before I pray for you, I want to share just a little bit of my testimony of the day that I got saved. I was the worst day of my life, really. I mean, I was just at the end of myself. It was late at night. I came to an end of myself. I saw that all these things that I was trying to do to make myself happy wasn't working. I was sick of it. I was sick of trying. I was sick of my life. I was sick of all the ways that I was trying to find fulfillment. And I just said, God, my life ain't worth much, but I'm willing to surrender it to you. There were a lot of other extenuating circumstances that came into play, and Satan tried to play on my mind. But here's the one thing I realized. Jesus is the only way. I gave my life to him that night. And woke up the next morning, and oftentimes I woke up the morning in terrible dread. You ever feel that way? There's a lot of dread in your heart, just don't even really want to face the day. That's how I woke up most of my mornings before that. But you know, that next morning, I woke up, and I hadn't had much sleep, but I have never seen things in the most beautiful color that I was seeing that day. I walked outside, and I was just like, I actually turned around and looked at my wife, and she didn't know, have a clue of what all was going on in here and in here, really so much, you know. In her sleep, she stirred, and she said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, you know, as I was coming to bed, she said, you seem different. And she didn't even remember saying that. I'll tell you what seemed different about me, is that the Holy Spirit was moving in. You know? It was testifying. He was testifying with the Spirit that lived in her, because she was a believer before me. And I walked outside the next morning, and I was getting ready to go to work, and rather than this black and white dread, this heaviness on me, I looked around, and I said to her, I said, has it always looked like this? Because it was like I went from a black and white world to a color world. And I'd like to tell you my life's been perfect ever since. That was 22 years ago almost. But you know what? It hasn't been perfect. But I serve a perfect God, and my joy can be full in this perfect God. My life isn't perfect, but my Savior is perfect, and he's preparing a perfect place for me, and he's preparing me for that place. Man, I've got a reason to be joyful, and I am insisting that in this next year, I'm going to rest in that joy. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray for each and every one that's here today. We're going to have a time of invitation, a little altar call here. I don't know what people may need to pray about, and I'm not even going to try to imagine. But if there's something on each person's heart in this room that they would like to bring to the front, kneel down, and just take it to your altar, Lord. Bring it to the foot of the cross. That they would feel free and unhindered to do that with you today. I pray that there would be a freedom in this room. A freedom that no one would wonder what their neighbor's going to think about them if they're up here kneeling down before you praying. I pray that they wouldn't care what people think about them, but they would only care about what you think about them. Father, I pray that there would be a freedom in this room, that we would be able to move forward with you no matter our circumstance in joy this year. And Lord, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper as well, it says in the Word that none of us should take it in an unworthy manner. And so this Lord's Supper that's up here is for any blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ that has surrendered their life to you. And so, Lord, there may be somebody in this room that needs to do some business with you before they think of partaking of that. And so I pray that to find ourselves in a worthy manner means that we don't have unconfessed sin in our lives. That if there's a sin we know about, we deal with it by bringing it to your throne, confessing it to you. So, Lord, we open the altar today that people can do that business with you. And, Lord, I will even stand up there if anyone needs somebody to pray with them, that I will be available. But, Lord, first and foremost, we don't need any other priest to take us to the throne of grace but Jesus, the high priest. And so we bring our prayers to you and through you today. In Jesus' name, amen.